mean, he been putting in work for so long.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode, number 8 of Putting in Work. I'm Jono Peck. Before we get started, I just want to thank everyone out there who's been throwing me some positive feedback about the show. It's been really encouraging to hear that you're enjoying it. So thanks for that again. And we've got some really exciting guests lined up. Been reaching out to a few people internationally and looks like there's some interest there. So stay tuned for all that good stuff. This week, we have a very special guest, a man who's accomplished a lot in the face of adversity. Simon Rigg is his name, and he's a mouth painter from down in Warrnambool. Simon had an accident about 25 years ago. He fell off a roof, broke his neck, and as a result, he's now quadriplegic, but he's taught himself to paint with a brush in his mouth, which is called mouth painting, for those who don't know. And he's not only learnt to do that, he's won a lot of awards for his painting. He's very well known in the artistic community of Warrnambool and among the foot and mouth painters group, I believe it's called. It's not often that you get a chance to talk to someone who's been through so much, but also been able to achieve what Simon has. So it was really great to sit down. I didn't sit down with Simon, I talked to him on the phone. So the audio is a little different than what you might be used to in other episodes. But I think if you stick with us, you'll see that Simon has a lot to say. It's a very inspiring story, and I hope you can take something from it. Enjoy the show.
I'm not very up to speed with the podcasting.
No.
I'm not very tech savvy.
That's all right. You can make your podcast debut today.
Okay. I used to do tech stuff years ago, but I've got too sick of screens and machines, really. So.
Yeah, fair enough. Simon, can you tell me how you got into the mouth painting?
Okay. A long story, rebated, Jono.
Yeah.
1982, I broke my neck. I had a little spinal cord injury. I was 28 years old and went into the Austin Hospital for the best part of a year. And as part of my rehab, it was suggested to me the VAT took me down to, you know, the art room, and we had to go do a bit of art at the Austin Hospital. And at that stage, I had a neck brace on which immobilised my head totally. So already actually put me right off painting, and I was, you know, in a manual wheelchair too, hardly unable to move. So anyway, I eventually left the Austin and I went into computer aided design for a while. And because I'm not a screen person, I decided to look back at the painting again. At that stage, I had an electric wheelchair and a bit more mobility, and that's when I decided to take up my painting because it's a bit more soul soothing, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
Yeah, rather than just punching out numbers on CAD programs and things like that. So that's actually how I got into my painting. I just found it a bit more of a joy, something I'd take with me wherever I go.
It was like a therapeutic process for you?
Oh, very much so. I can, you know, settle my mind a bit, express various points of view or any feelings or not. So.
Okay. And were you much of an artist before the accident?
I used to paint and draw a little bit at school. I used to wag English in school and go and sit in the art class, the back of the art class. And so I did do a little bit of drawing. And my first year of high school, I used to do drawings and things like that. Now the kids used to do my written work. So I used to bargain with their projects and things like that.
Bit of a swap.
So a bit of a swap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you enjoyed art, but I guess you probably, I know you were a landscaper, you probably didn't see yourself as someone that would be selling their artworks one day.
No, I didn't, because I never had the time, Donna.
Mm.
When I was walking around, I was, well, I had a young family, I had more work than I, you know, than I could to take on, really, by a long way. And so I never really had time to paint. I did end up buying a little set of watercolour paints before I broke my neck with the idea of trying to do something different to for a change, I guess, get a peace of mind. But I never actually got to use them. I broke my neck shortly after that. But so I eventually got full circle back into the artwork, I guess, in a lot of ways.
So it was like you kind of always wanted to do it, but you didn't have the time or it wasn't a priority?
Well, it's something I enjoyed. Yeah, as you say, it probably wasn't a priority because earning money, as you know, becomes a priority.
Mm.
Supporting family becomes a priority. you know, maintaining a good job, all that sort of stuff becomes a priority. And with that job that I had too, working in, you know, in the hospital as the superintendent of grounds, I sort of, it wasn't just the garden, but there were responsibilities towards the people who lived there and things like that. So I felt I had a, you know, bit of a priority set there, I guess, too.
I mean, you were learning to do a lot of things again when you had your, after you had your accident, not being able to use your hands the way that you used to. So what was it like to learn how to do something that takes as much finesse as, you know, painting and moving an art brush does?
Very different. Yeah. I had to learn everything again, even from breathing, because I was on a ventilator for a while. And it was, I was actually told I would never be off a ventilator, but obviously recovered a bit better than I thought.
Okay.
And I never regained any use of my hands, and so I actually use a brush to help my teeth. Just for that, more than anything else, I've had to control my breathing. Because if you can imagine sitting in front of an easel with, say, a fine watercolour brush or brush with a bit of ink on it, as you're breathing, your body's moving backwards and forwards. And so as I paint, I actually hold my breath so my body doesn't move. And so there's a fair bit of technique involved mastering that, I guess. And most people don't see that, Jono.
Yeah.
Most people don't even think of that. And I guess that's the main thing. But using the mouth, I just saw as an alternative tool or an alternative way of using a brush or a tool, whatever you like to call that, as opposed to using a hand, which I obviously didn't have use of after I broke my neck.
Mm.
But using a mouth is a good way to do it. And it's actually quite steady once you get the hang of it.
Sure.
And then it's a matter of developing various techniques to cover, you know, ranges and techniques and, you know, all that sort of stuff to get a variety of artwork out after that. So.
And how much time goes into each of your artworks? Because I imagine as well as the process of actually painting, there's the mixing paints and getting everything set up and things that would maybe take some people not much time at all, but it's a bit more of a task for you.
Well, it does. I mean, it takes me a long time to get set up sometimes. I have to rely on other people, you know, to set my paints out,
Squirt
the paint out of the tube, put a canvas up, put the brushes where I can access them, and water or whatever I'm using. And, well, it's just a different thing, but the actual preparation is often a fair bit. The paintings vary a lot. Usually the best paintings are the quickest ones,
okay,
they have a bit more spontaneity. And I find the ones that take too long, I'm usually less satisfied with, because they've lost a bit of that.
Sure.
So that's what I notice as a general pattern. Now, I paint in watercolours and acrylic paints, and I've got my oil paints back out again now, just recently. I haven't started them yet, but I used to oil paint all the time in Tasmania nearly 9 years ago. And so I've got them outside here so they're not too fumey for my workers.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people can't take the fumes associated with oil paints.
Okay.
But that's one trick. So it depends on the medium, depends on the subject, and depends how well the painting goes.
And there must be a higher level of frustration involved with, you know, being an artist and having a picture in your head that you're trying to recreate, but having the physical limitations that come with having a disability. So what was it like in that learning process trying to not only master the skill of painting, but, you know, having to just kind of adjust to your limitations?
Well, I guess every artist has their frustrations with that one.
Hmm.
Because a lot of people have their picture inside their head before it gets on the canvas. And I've actually learned that it's a bit like life. You can plan it and you can try and do it and execute it, carry, you know, to go through the process. But it doesn't always come out like you think.
Yeah.
Like, and I try and allow that variation for my paintings. I mean, I started one a week ago. I thought, I'm going to get a good day's painting here. Everything set up, felt like a good frame of mind. Went totally wrong and I spat the dome out. It became a dark storm cloud on my canvas. An ex-worker came in and said, oh, you haven't had a good time, have you? Anyway, I said, no, I exercised a bit of my frustration on that canvas, but it really didn't. And they said, do you want me to take it away? I said, no, I'll leave it. So I just looked at it over the process of a week. And I started seeing things in there. I started seeing shapes, I started seeing forms and patterns and stuff like that, even though it looked like a big abstract mess, really. And I actually got that canvas out, or I had to leave this morning. I got some I've actually made what I consider to be quite a nice painting out of it.
Hmm.
So but that's something that's come from a plan that didn't happen, and I'm still happy with the result today, so it's been a good result.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you kind of turn around something that hasn't worked into something that you probably wouldn't have done to begin with, yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I've got an unexpected pleasant surprise, I guess.
Okay. So, Simon, you've actually won some awards for your painting. Is that kind of recognition that you've had, is it something that's made you think maybe I could make a living out of your artwork, or is it really not something that you've considered because of the time it takes for each artwork?
Well, it's something I do consider because I consider that my focus in life, my work life. I get joy out of painting things that people like to see, and things that cheer people up, things that make people feel better about life. And I think that's quite a worthwhile objective. I do get a number of other paintings printed around the world on cards and, you know, reprints and things like that.
Jigsaw puzzles?
Jigsaw puzzles, that one too. You've seen that one, have you?
Yeah, I think Hannah just ordered one.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so I do get pleasure from that side of things, and I do get some income from it. That's all the bonus. It helps me get by, and without my painting, I probably wouldn't have this house. Probably wouldn't have my car. That's a bonus in many ways, I know.
Yeah.
And that in itself promotes a bit more creativity because I've got a pleasant environment. Makes me want to do more. I've got a good car to get around. Makes me want to go out and paint stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. Building the profile that you've got to make some money out of it, how did that come about? And was it kind of just something that happened on its own, or did you make an effort to get out there and, you know, be part of the artistic community that you live in?
Well, when I broke my neck in 1982, I actually went down to Deakin University for a year, probably about 83, 84. I must have been 84, I think. And I learned about CAD design. Got some equipment, got a CAD program, which was worth a lot of money, a bit of equipment. But then I decided that I was going to try and get into landscape design, because by previous work with that sort of area.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to try and get into landscape design on PCs and stuff like that. And when you consider personal computers really did not exist then, they were just starting to be invented. And one trip I went down to Melbourne, visited Track Landscaping Company in Melbourne. It's quite a large company that do large landscape designs around buildings all around the world in Melbourne and foreshores around Sydney, I think, St Kilda, places like that. And I said to them if I could do all what those guys are doing around that big table there with bits of paper, would you be interested in hiring me? And they said yes, without a doubt. But a long story cut short, I had an injury on my bottom, which was caused by a couple of orderlies in the hospital the year before. I ended up being bedridden for a long time, don't I? That line of work was virtually cut out for any practicality sake. And then I went back to my painting. So I could, when I was sitting up, I could paint. I actually learned to paint laying in bed. About 1990 or 1989, a friend suggested to me, why don't I send some painters off to the Mavenwood painting artists who are based in Europe with the Sydney office, head office in Australia. I did that, and anyway, they sent back with, I said, we like your paintings, and they were willing to offer me a scholarship or a stipend.
Yeah.
And that's how that started out. And I've sort of built up my art life through that a lot, but it's extended into the, what you call, the everyday normal person's art world as well. That's basically how it started out. And that's how my art life actually revolves around that sort of thing. And every year I go up to Brisbane Royal Brisbane Show, which is called ECHA. I do demonstration painting up there.
Yep.
And that sort of brings in the realm of the, well, what I call it, the vertical people's art. And you know what I mean by that, don't you?
You can explain it.
The vertical people are those ones that walk around on legs.
Yeah, people like us. Yeah, okay.
People like, yeah. So just the normal first people's art, because they have a big display up there, a big art show. I won two prizes up there, a second and a third.
Okay.
And, so, you know, the MFPA has a stand there and we do, you know, paint for people so they can see actually how they're done. Now, I get the comment a lot. People come back to me and say, we would never have believed that could be done by holding a brush in the mouth unless we'd seen you doing it. But then there's also ordinary people around who are artists up there as well. So it's all just a different way of, you know, working out a similar aim, really.
So, Simon, if there's anyone that's listening to this and they're similar to what you were before your accident, they considered that they'd love to do a bit of painting, but they don't know how to get started, or they don't think that they've, you know, got the skills to do it, what would be your advice to people who just want to kind of get into painting?
Trial and error and a bit of creativity and lateral thoughts, your mind. Because, I mean, it's always going to be frustrating, and persistence, I guess, is the outline, Jono.
Persistence, yeah.
Yeah, creativity, lateral thought, persistence, I'd reckon. And because think about life, and I obviously have thought about life a lot. Didn't go to what I had planned initially when I was in my mid-20s, but I just look upon it as, okay, I made this ultimate direction I was heading in, but ended up breaking my neck, so I just see that as a change of course.
Mm.
And a lot of people I've seen with spinal cord injury see that as the end of their normal life, and I think that's one of the worst things you could probably think, really, and do, because yeah, a lot of things happen to people, and I think it just changes direction. Painting is a good avenue of expressing a few of those sort of feelings. But you've got to be able to get to a point where you're doing the painting, I guess.
No, that makes sense. Good advice, I think.
Roundabout way to get there, wasn't it?
No, that's good. So, Simon, my last question for you, if you could do anything with your art and know that you wouldn't fail, what would you do?
And know that I wouldn't fail?
Yeah.
I'd like to do great masterpieces, and I'd like to do it for something that's going to be a good cause. And I think there's so many starving kids and things on in this world. I'd like to maybe help them, perhaps inspire them somehow, or, you know, because there's so many people in a situation where they can't help themselves.
Mm.
It'd be great to be able to do something good about that, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm sure that you have already inspired a lot of people with the artworks you've been able to create, and, you know, some beauty that you're able to bring into the world as well.
Oh, thank you, John.
It's all right. Thanks thanks for the chat, and, yeah, just keep up the good work, I guess. It's really inspiring.
Thank you, John, very much. And how's that good wife of yours before?
Oh, she's very good. She's just home from a long shift, but very happy to be home.
Yeah, struck gold with that one, John.
Yeah, I think so too. There you go, people. Hope you enjoyed that, and don't forget to leave me a 5-star rating on iTunes if you can. As always, you can catch me on Twitter @Jono himself. Until next time, keep putting in work.